It's Music Scene Frontiera. Mexico, on the shores of beautiful Lake Chapala, it's Music Scene Fronteras. I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan, and I want to welcome all of our listeners on blogtalkradio.com, as well as on the cyberstationusa.com network and their radio affiliates, plus all the people on the Artistic Echoes and Canal Side Radio Network who will hear us tomorrow in England. So if you have any questions or comments for our guests, email them to Music Scene Fronteras MX, that's for Mexico, at gmail.com. If you're listening to us on a podcast or in England, you can still email questions for our guests. We will forward them to our guest and they can answer them directly. Well, as always, I have to remind everybody that we are in Mexico, which is a joyfully musical and noisy country. Our studio is downtown and our soundproofing is pretty good, but you still may hear the odd gas truck or whatever. We are on a kind of lockdown, but it's pretty quiet, except for the heavy trucks for the street repair around the corner, right? So earlier this week, we talked with heavy metal queen Militia Vox about her new song and her new video, Vow. Now, we're going to play that interview plus the song. But remember, this is a pre-recorded interview, so you don't call in because Militia's not here. I'm here, but Militia's not. But you can email questions, and we will forward them to her. Now, let's give you a little background on Militia. In case you don't know her, Militia Vox is an American singer, songwriter, composer, host, actress, visual artist, director, producer, and model. She has no regard for genres, gender roles, or stereotypes. She's opera trained, and she has a 4-octave voice, but she long ago moved from opera to heavy metal. Militia's mesmerizing presence, her raw power, and her sense of theater means that she and her bands are always crowd pleasers at international festivals and events. Everything from biker rallies, yes, she's done biker rallies, to prestigious museums. Militia Vox draws from a sonic palette of heavy metal, progressive, psychedelic rock, grunge, goth, industrial, you name it, she does it. Oh, she also does horror scores too. She creates, directs, and produces her own award-winning music videos and her own immersive art installations, which are also award-winning. She has run awards and official selections at many music and film festivals. She has appeared on network TV series. She's been in Broadway. She's been in top venues on both coasts, as well as internationally. So anyway, that's the background. Now, here is the conversation with Militia Vox. Militia, welcome to Music Scene Fronteras. You know, I think this is the first time you've been on this iteration of the show, but in the 6 years we've known each other, you've appeared on my U.S.-based show, Music Friday Radio, several times. So it's great to have you, Scene Fronteras, Without Borders, which I think is kind of your normal state anyway, right?
Without borders, yes. Right. I have no borders. I have no boundaries. I have no limits. I have no labels. So this is perfect.
Yes, it is. That's why we'd love to have you on. Right.
Well, thank actually, you for having me.
Well, you're a great guest and you're a great artist, and we're proud to be able to talk to you on the air. But we should remember that there's another reason why we called you, and that's because Vow has finally hit the big screen, or all of the various screens that we now live with.
Yes, it did hit the big screen, actually, because it did the film festival circuit.
So that's right.
That was pretty exciting, and which is why it took so long to get it to the masses. So, like, I don't know if people know the film world, like the film festival circuit, but in that world, some of them are very preoccupied with the artwork being a premiere, So because of that, you know, or it either being a premiere or regionally or locally or worldwide or whatever, or it has to be a premiere as in it's not available on social media, YouTube, Vimeo and things like that. So they don't want something that like anyone can see at any time. They want some kind of exclusivity. So because of that, the video took a year to create, and then it took another year to just do the film festival round.
Well, if I recall, you first released Vow as the song as a single in 2015, and then mm-hmm. it was on your EP Isosceles the following year. In that time, has it gone through any changes from 2015 to the actual video?
Oh yeah, so many. It's the path with that song has been crazy, and basically the abridged version of it, audio wise, was that the initial like mix and master of it, the initial production of it, I thought was like kind of basic, and you couldn't really, certain parts of the song, because it's densely layered with parts. And there were certain parts of the song that sounded kind of muddy in that initial mix and master, but because there was like so much going on and it's a pretty, you know, hard hitting song, it was really tricky to balance everything sonically. So because of that, it had to go through a lot of hands to clean it up and get it to what you hear now, which I think is like a pretty, you know, like it's a pretty nice sweet punch in your gut, you know, it's got that kind of feeling to it. Which is what it was always destined to be.
Well, I think it is too. So let's let everybody out there have an opportunity to get punched in the gut and
yeah.
and play a bit. You know,
Val.
Yeah, I'm sure you've heard that before.
No,
you know,
just myself. No one else has ever said that. So.
Okay.
I usually say wow, Val, after every single shoot that we did to make it look like something.
Well, it certainly does. And unfortunately, we can't show that, but we'll talk about that later. You know, you. As I listen to that, and I listen to it a lot and watch the video a lot this week, you've always had a talent for integrating contrasting rhythms and moods into kind of gestalts and into holes. And I think it's the power of your voice that sort of acts like the sun holding all the parts in their orbits with its massive gravity.
Always did have the gift of the gab, Patrick.
Well, you know, you inspire me.
Aw, thank you.
Do you write
you
a song like
me.
That?
You inspire me. You have like the energy of like I've always said, you've got more energy than most 20-year-olds.
Well, of course, right now all the 20-year-olds I know are sitting in their parents' Barca loungers playing video games. But
that's right.
Yeah. Do you write a song like that out, you know, lay out the music and the lyrics and then try different arrangements, or does it sort of spring from your forehead like Athena from Zeus's brow?
Athena from Zeus's brow. That one in particular was. It just came along so, like, fast and organic. It was just very, I do, I don't know if I ever told you about my seance writing, but I have this like writing thing where I just like, I sit in front of the paper and I just write as if like, you know, ghosts are speaking to me or like subliminal messages are whispering in my ear. And I just like write down my ideas and I just go until I'm totally drained. And then I go back and I collage it together till it looks like something.
You know, that doesn't surprise me a bit, knowing you. And if you can ever capture any of those ghosts, I'd like to have them on the air, okay?
Sure, yeah.
All right. You know, you make a vow in that song. You sing about a vow that you make. And to me, it's kind of the way you steer your life, who you are. You said you create what you want. You take risks as you see them. You won't be held down. You're not necessarily interested in being safe. Is that kind of what your message is there?
Oh, absolutely. And it's also like, you know, it's an ode to self-reliance, and it's a promise to myself that I will always just keep it real and stay true to what's important to me, which, like, even though it doesn't make sense necessarily in the grand scheme of things, I find that a lot of artists tend to write with the end user in mind, which is probably smart. I have never adhered to that mantra. I've never worked that way. It's always been like whatever I needed to say that I had to get out, that's what I wanted to accomplish. And thou is a perfect example of that, because I just wanted to kind of just put the message out into the universe that, you know, even though I'm standing by myself, I'm standing alone, you know, 99.9% of the time, that, you know, I will always have the courage to stand there, regardless of whatever happens.
Even though you say you don't write for the end user, apparently the end users have figured out it's what they want to hear. So it all works out. Something else I've noticed about you, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, your career doesn't necessarily draw lines between theater and song and video and drama. You just go out there and you create, and different mediums like TV and film and music and cover bands are sort of tools in your toolbox.
Absolutely, yes.
The video vow, it, to me, is kind of an example of you just reaching in and saying, okay, this is the right tool for this particular work of art. Is that how you came to the video?
Oh, absolutely. Well, the whole concept of it was really mostly about, like, astral projection was, like, the theme of it. And I just wanted to have, like, the most, like, soul-freeing sounding and experience that I could create. So I wanted it to be, like, you know, I wanted it to be, like, this promise to myself is going to be how I achieve this, like super consciousness and this, like, super existence for my soul.
Well, how deep is I can understand. I can. I understand that. All right.
But like, you know, every soul is looking for its enlightenment. You know, so like, this is how I achieve mine. So that's why, like, you see these visions of, like, you know, this like beam of light in the darkness, and there's something that looks like very astral. It looks very cosmic about it in a way. Which is, like, very different from what I usually write or tend to project out there into the world. But to me, it was a very necessary statement. And, like, either some people get it, you know, or they don't. And the ones that don't, at least they could still say, like, damn, that song still rocks, you know. Those visuals look cool or whatever they want to say. But it's, like, you know, the whole point of it was to, you know, it was enlightenment.
Well, on your way to enlightenment, you took a kind of an unusual route, which you talked to us earlier, and that's the film festivals, which paid off, and you got a lot of awards. What gave you the idea to introduce vow at film festivals before you spread it out like a usual music video?
Well, the idea was that, you know, because like film festivals, they want to, you know, they don't want stuff that like anyone on the internet can get. They want it to be, you know, exclusive. So I had to keep Val, you know, off the traditional like video channels like YouTube and Vimeo and all this kind of crap, and just, you know, shop it around to film festivals, and then whoever who got it and liked it and picked it up, or whoever got it and honored it with an award, you know, that was all just like accolades to, I guess, increase the hype of the video, so that it was more than just hype. It ended up being, you know, something really exciting. So it'd be like,
yeah,
okay, now it's like street cred and bragging rights. It's like,
okay,
here we go. It's like, you want to see the latest video? Like, check this out. It won best music video in Paris and best music video here and there. You know, so it was just things to just make it, you know, feathers in the cap, more exciting. Not that I really give a shit about, pardon my French. Not that I really give a crap about awards per se, but it was just something to accomplish so I could be like, look, I didn't go to film school and I made award-winning music videos.
Yay. I like that attitude. And just for the record, you won first place at the Las Vegas Black Film Festival in 2020. You won first place in the ARFF Paris International Festival last year.
Mm-hmm.
And you also won first place in the New York Psychedelic Film and Music Festival last year. Which of those was the most fun for you to attend?
Well, I only was able to attend the New York Psychedelic Film Festival, which I did speak at that, so that was cool. But the Las Vegas Black Film Festival was actually supposed to be now. So it ended up postponed. Like, they already did the awards, and then whoever was winning was supposed to come and speak. And I was planning on coming, but now it's, like, being pushed back to August, I believe. So if I'm able to do it, I would love to. Yep.
Okay. Understandable.
And then the Paris one I didn't get to do because I was on tour, but they still honored my video anyway, which was great.
Well, I don't usually ask women this, but you're special. So what did you wear?
Oh, this sounds interesting.
What did you wear when you accepted your award and gave a speech?
I was wearing black, if you can imagine that. I'm always dressed for a funeral, Patrick. You know that.
But there are variations on black. Were you long coat dress? Were you in your leathers with Judith Priestess? Was it a black bikini? I mean, you know, what did you do?
I think I was wearing black body paint, and I had a black feather in my hair. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to have to search the internet for that one. Moving right along. the video, you know, is speaking of black, is dark in mood.
Mm-hmm.
But like you mentioned, it's full of light. There's lots of flashing lights, and there are scenes in which you're actually seeing inside of the title of the video. A lot of really complex effects. Did you do all of those yourself? Because I noticed you were this was self-produced.
Yeah, I created the video art. I created the projections, like when you see, like the clip of me where I'm standing and it looks like I'm surrounded in the lyrics of the song. That was actually not a special effect. It is a special effect, but it's not a. It's not a digital special effect. It was projections. So it's like projections and lighting. So I had to create the actual, it's a photo of the lyrics. And then I blew it up and projected it so it looked like it was like its own universe. And then light it so it looked like I was glowing amidst the lyrics. I mean, it's just so weird. It sounds weird, but it made a lot of sense at the time.
Well, no, it makes sense. So you actually did all of those special effects.
All of those effects, yeah. My cameraman, you know, because I had to have a
somebody hold the camera. Yeah. My cameraman, Kevin Von Esper, he was so good at putting up with all of my, like, weird orders because, like, you know, I don't give him a lot of information going into it. I just go, like, stand here and press the button. like, he has no idea what to expect or what it's going to look like. I don't share, like, my storyboards with him or anything like that. So when we're in there editing, so, like, I go to his studio and we edit it, you know, and I just go, like, okay, like, I'll draw him a picture. And I'll go, okay, it needs to look like this, you know, or I sent him, like, the letters. And I was like, the letters should flash, like, on the snares, you know, during the hits. And he's just like, okay, you know, this is kind of like, are you going to put a warning on this for people that have light sensitivity? You know, so, like, that's how the process is.
I wish you had videoed the process. It'd be interesting to watch that happen because, I'm amazed and inspired. You're an opera-trained singer. You lead a heavy metal band. You're a master guitarist. You're an actress on stage, screen, and TV. You're a producer, a theatrical director, and now you're a special effects artist. How do you
right.
get time to learn all of these things?
Well, it's out of necessity. All of this is out of necessity. Necessity is the mother effer of invention, let me tell you, because if any time in my career, if I've ever wanted to accomplish something, I always had to do it myself. You know, nobody, you know, I see a lot of artists who, you know, they have the team and they have the assistants and they have the, you know, champions and they have the people that rally for them and do work for them, you know, and I just go like, man, like that would be nice. But anytime anyone's ever offered, you know, assistance in that way to me, I just, like, they didn't get what I was trying to communicate, and then it didn't last long. So, like, I've always had to figure it out for myself so I could accomplish the things I want to accomplish, you know, on my own terms, because ultimately nobody knows what it's supposed to look like other than me. So then I have to be responsible for it. So I just end up having to learn things like, oh, how to make this look like, you know, there's five of me in one shot, you know, how do I make this look like, you know, I'm floating in some alternate universe, you know, how do I make this, just had to figure it out, because like I said, I didn't go to film school, a lot of the things that I've done, I didn't go to school for, I didn't, you know, I had to teach myself. It's very, very DIY, it's like DIY, do or die type shit, pardon my French.
Well, I noticed, since you mentioned putting five of you on the screen, some of the effects in Vow are similar to the ones that you used in Born Out of Darkness. So was Born Out of Darkness part of the learning curve for Vow?
I'm glad you watched. Okay, I'm glad that you say that, because actually all the videos are linked together.
So
if you listen to them, if you listen to the videos in album order, the end picks up and then the next one, I mean, the end leaves off and the next video picks up. So actually Born Out of Darkness ends and then Vow picks up from that. So like the end position, I'm like, it's in the same room, but the end position is I'm on the ground at the end of Born Out of Darkness. And at the beginning of Vow, I stand up.
Wow. Now I really do got to have to go back.
At the end of Vow, I walk down the alley, and the beginning of Nectarphilia is at the end of the alley.
Ah. So I watched it many times, I must say that I like that last scene when you're walking down the alley, which is a minute long. It's a fifth of the video. And I love the music in that. So I'm going to play just a cut of that music when you're walking down the alley at the end of it. Here it is.
Thank you.
we can hear, you have shifted from frantic alt rock and metal to kind of a melancholy guitar riff with a very slight wind sound underneath it as you walk slowly down the alley into the night. Very powerful. It's sort of like you sang your piece and you leave like a Western hero riding off into the sunset, leaving the audience sort of quivering while they think about what you just did to them. Very powerful. I appreciate
Thank
that.
You. That's interesting. Right. Like a lot of people, I was actually worried that that last shot went on for too long, but the whole point of that was I wanted people to listen to, you know, what I was saying during that bit. And it's also serving as a transition to go into the dark place that is necrophilia.
Right.
So
no, it's not
to
too
the
long
beginning
at all.
If you listen to the beginning of Nectophilia, that wind sound is there as well.
Okay.
So
I did notice that, but I didn't put the two together like that. Well, speaking of being too long, unfortunately, we are about to be too long, right? we only have a few minutes left, but I do want to ask you, what else is percolating in the mind and the world of Militia Vox? Are you working on more music, more theater? Are you kicking back and relaxing while you can't go out? What's going on?
Well, kicking back and relaxing is never in my vocabulary. I wouldn't know how to do that. I'm in the process of editing a new video. This one is for The Villainess. The Villainess is getting a video, the title track from that record. All the songs on The Villainess are getting a video because I want it to be a full visual album. The Villainess also has an immersive exhibition that was slated to pop up at several events this year, but we'll see where the day takes us. So there's that. I'm working on a really heavy metal project that's brand spanking new. So more to that to come for sure. And as far as quarantine situation, it's been great. I'm writing a lot. I'm writing music a lot. You know, I'm taking the Mensa tests. I'm learning chess finally. I'm doing things that I have always wanted to do and didn't have time because I was on the road, and it feels good.
Cool.
So as far as things to come, I actually was doing a show that was slated to open Times Square, but it's all canceled now. Everything's canceled. Yeah. So that would have been exciting, but who knows? Maybe we'll do it in the future. It's with House of Yes. So it'll probably happen in some incarnation at some point in time. But just stay tuned. Like check out my website, and I update it with all the crap that I do and, you know,
okay.
But really the mission now is just
All right. Any plans?
Before we get cut off, I just wanted to say it's important to me at this stage in my life. I really want to, you know, demonstrate the kind of artist that I am because there's no blueprint for what I'm doing. And there's nobody else that's doing what I'm doing. I don't even know any other artists that take the time to do this much stuff. Or use the tools in our toolbox, so to speak. You know, I think insulting things that I've been asked since the Val video came out was people ask me, "Oh, who shot that for you?" Or, "Oh, who made that for you? Who created those effects for you?" You know, and I just go like, "What part of I did this? Like, this is mine. Like, I made this. What part of this don't you understand?" Because people are so used to artists that have their hands held. That's just become the norm. So I just want to put it out there for everybody to understand that it doesn't exist here. Like I'm making everything on my own. So
speaking of making
the nail in that coffin.
Speaking of making things on your own, do you have any plans to do what many other people are doing now, and that is an online concert?
I didn't have any plans for that, but literally people have been asking me every day to do that. So maybe I should check out doing an online concert. I just, the thought of it is just so, I don't know, to me, like I my imagination lives in a very fantastical place. And the idea of doing a house concert just seems so pedestrian that I'm not really interested in it.
Doesn't have to be a house concert.
I have to say, I mean, my house is pretty fucking cool. Pardon my French.
I had to leave that one out.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, I have beautiful things. I've got very odd things, as you can imagine, in my house. My house is very dark. You know, it's like dark blue. It's just very, I don't know. I've always kind of left this as my creative space, and I've never really thought of making broadcasting something from here. It's very unusual. I don't know. If I did it, I'd have to do it in a very unusual way. You know what I'm saying?
That's why I asked,
mm-hmm.
because I know you would. Well, we are getting down to the last couple of minutes here, and I do want to remind folks, and can they still go to Bandcamp and get an autographed photo of you?
Yes, they can. It's so
and how
crazy.
Do they find?
Like, I never thought anyone would be interested in that, but then I just got so many requests for it that I was like, all right, I guess I'm making autographed photos. So I was like, all right, I'm going to do this now. And then, like, I posted up, and, like, let me tell you, I risked my life the other day. I had to go to the New York City post office, like the main one,
wow.
on 8th
wow.
Avenue, because I had so many photo orders. It was insane.
Well, now you'll have even more, so people should go to what? It's Militia. .bandcamp is that the address?
Mm-hmm. Militia.bandcamp.com.
Okay.
There's also a link on my website, and I don't know if you just Google it, like, you know, you can get
okay.
it. Or if you go out to my website under merch, it takes you to Bandcamp.
Okay.
But yeah, so my website is www.militiavox.com or www.militiaismyname.com or www.disgraceyourstereotype.com. They'll all take you to the same place.
Okay.
You
right.
know me,
well,
I always have to do things to the extreme.
That's right, and that's why we love you. Well, thank you for joining us today, and thank you for all the great...
Oh, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's been a delight, and thanks for all the great music and theater and thinking and everything else you brought us. I really appreciate it. Bye-bye
now. Thank you for noticing. Happy apocalypse. Bye.
Well, that was our conversation with Militia Vox, and of course she ended it with happy apocalypse. Only Militia would do that. You can follow her at militiavox.com. You can also follow her on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, SoundCloud, you name it, she's there. I do recommend that you follow her. She said she has some more projects in the works, and they're going to be lots of fun, even if you're not a heavy metal fan. I mean, she does a lot of things besides heavy metal. All of them dark, of course, but a lot of fun. I saw her actually on stage at the Whiskey A Go Go in the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and she did a wonderful job. Well, you've been listening to Music Scene Fronteras with Patrick O'Heffernan from blogtalkradio.com, the cyberstationusa.com network, and, of course, our radio affiliates. Like our Facebook page, follow our Twitter feeds, and we'll give you real-time updates on our guests. Our producer is Lars Christensen, our program director is Jason Bartleben, and of course, I'm Patrick O'Heffernan, your host. Download this and other Music Scene Fronteras programs at blogtalkradio.com or on iTunes. We're on iTunes. Tune in next week when we talk with Latin Grammy winner Gina Chavez. This is going to be lots of fun. We've had her on before. She's a great guest. So check out our Twitter stream and our Facebook page for details and photos. In the meantime, have a great musical weekend. Even if you have to stay home to do it, don't forget all those live stream concerts on Stage It and all those other places. Tener un gran fin de semana musical.